For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. This afternoon, we would like to study this verse, the first part of the verse. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. We know in the time of Isaiah, the Israelites facing the most difficult time in their history. In the time that Solomon was a king, he built the temple of God, and the temple was filled with the glory of God. And the blessing of God followed because God abided with them. So in that moment, not only the country was very strong, but also the Israelites lived a pretty good, blessed life. But when this time reached to the time of Isaiah, the Israelites facing the most difficult perilous situation. Why? Because God withdrew his blessing. And since the glory of God departed from his temple, so the foreign nation invaded them. And the pending danger and the pending difficulty is coming. So in that critical, difficult moment, we can see that Isaiah give them a very positive, very promising message. So a lot of people like to listen so-called positive thinking. Is there any positive thinking in the Bible? Yes. So from the book of Isaiah, we can see a lot of positive thinking. You know, God is the Father of all, and especially we are the Prince of God, and God is our Father. Even though sometimes we encounter some difficulties, and we know the difficulty or tribulation is a blessing in disguise? No, right. Superficially, nobody wants to suffer, and nobody wants to go through the difficult time. But difficult time sometimes is necessary in order to bring us back to Him, so that we can enjoy more important blessing. We can reestablish our relationship with God. So eventually, we can receive the most precious blessing, which is eternal life. So when we face some difficult situation, what should we do? A lot of time we feel that seems the suffering has no end. A lot of times we feel that, where is God? I pray God don't want to listen. A lot of time we feel very down. It seems no future at all. But when we continue to read the Bible, and we find out so-called positive thinking is to focus on God Himself and to hold on His promise when we are in desperate. And in the end, when in the due time, we are going to see that God will help us to resolve our problem. So, in this verse, say, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In another English translation, say, in returning or in repenting and rest, you shall be saved. Actually, these two interpretations also make sense. And these two interpretations actually is correlated. What the returning means? Returning means repenting. A person really return to God must go through the process of repenting. For example, the prodigal son, we all familiar with that story. The prodigal son choose a life to be free from his father's control, from his father's interference. So he moved to a place very far away. The father was unable to see him, was unable to show concern to him, and was unable to guide him. So he enjoyed the total freedom. But that freedom claimed autonomy from the loving father's the care. actually produce a lot of negative effect. Because human being, we have a sinful nature. And human being, we tend to gradually turn downwards in morality. That prodigal son, after departing from the father, then he just squandered all his property. He just lived according whatever life he want to live. Because nobody control him. Nobody care him. And so he can do whatever he want. So eventually, this prodigal son felt that he was so poor, he had nothing to eat. So he had to take care of the swine. For the Jewish people, taking care of swine is an insult to their status, because swine is unclean animal. And he had nothing to eat, he had to eat the food of swine. So in that critical moment, he compared the life when he lived together with the father, and the life he claimed freedom from the father. All of a sudden, he awakened. When he awakened, he returned to the father, and he found out the father was waiting for him, and father did not blame anything. And the first sentence, the prodigal son say, "I sin against the heaven and against you." How come he sinned against the heaven? How come he sinned against the Father? So we have to understand from the spiritual perspective. We, who are the one created by God, actually we are owned by God because we are created by Him. We are the clay, He is the potter. Since He created us, so He has authority over us. He is a master of us. So when we claim autonomy from Him, we totally reject His authority over us, and that itself is sin. The second part, we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ redeemed us, the Bible says He paid a price as a ransom. And what kind of price? This price is not 10,000. This price is not 1,000,000. This price is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the life of Jesus Christ. It's so precious. Nothing is more precious than the life. And Jesus Christ loved us so much. He looked at us. We live under sin. We have no future at all. We live under sin. The consequence of sin is suffering. While we are still alive, we are suffering. The time we die, we are doomed into eternal destruction. So the Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much, and then He paid the price in the crucifixion. He redeemed us. Before, we belonged to Satan. No matter whether you want or not, we are under control of Satan. We have no way to claim freedom from Satan, because Satan is more powerful than we do. Everyone who has sinned fall into the control of Satan. But right now, after the salvation, Jesus paid a price. So we belong to Jesus Christ. Since we belong to Jesus Christ, so Jesus Christ has authority over us. So because of God's creation and because of the redemption of Jesus Christ, nobody can say God cannot have authority over us because we belong to Him. So when we start to live a life according to whatever we want to live, we just kick God aside. We neglect His authority, and that itself is the beginning of downfall, is the beginning of deviation, and that itself is a sin. Also, we have to confess our sin, not because I commit adultery, not because I do the robbery, this kind of sin. In terms of this kind of sin, properly, we do nothing. We do nothing wrong. But we have a very, very important sin. Sometimes we just neglect. In the James, book of James, chapter 4, I talk about a businessman had a planning to move a certain town and to live 1 year and to make a profit and to enjoy the life. And the Bible says this is arrogant and this is sin. How come the businessman was very good in planning? He was very smart and he wants to have a bright future to earn the money. And become arrogant and sin. Because the businessman failed to understand one fact. Only if God will, we can live. Only if God will, we can do this and do that and to make money. So when he totally neglect God and put his own future at his own control and itself, it disrespects the ownership, the authority of God. And that is arrogant and that is pride. So what does humble mean? Humble means we come before God and admit, you are my master, you are my Lord, you are in control of me, and I'm waiting to submissive to your will, to your guidance. So the prodigal son come back, say, Father, I sin against heaven, and I sin against you. So anyone who return to God have to go through the repentance, the process of repentance. Because they gone away from God itself, you already sin. Now, we neglect his authority and his guidance. So in repentance or in returning, we will have salvation. So a lot of time we have problem, right? Or so far we have no problem, but in the future, probably we are in this type or that type, in this time or that time, in here or in other location, we will encounter a certain type of the problem. So what should we do? The best way to go through the positive guidance of the Bible in returning or in repenting, we will be saved. Now, if we look into the teaching of the Bible in Genesis, when people live in the Garden of Eden, there will be no problem. Because they totally enjoy the fellowship with God. And they totally abide in God's guidance in the garden. So they receive the blessing. And God himself is a satisfaction of their soul, their heart. And where comes the human problem? The human problem comes after people departed from the kingdom of God. And all the problems arise. So today, after we receive the baptism, spiritually, we belong to Jesus Christ. Spiritually, we belong to the kingdom of God. But in reality, we have to go through the process of pursuing the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ said, those who seek the kingdom of God and righteousness, then all the daily necessity will be taken care of. What is a daily necessity nowadays? It's job. If we have no job, we have no income. If we have no income, our livelihood has problem, right? So in returning or in repenting, when we really live a life returning to God, really seek after his righteousness and his kingdom, then we are going to see we will be saved from the worry of daily necessity. So, this is the key point of returning and repenting. In another example, we see the book of Ruth. Let's go back to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 1:6. Chapter 1, verse 6. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law, and she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard the country of Moab, in the country of Moab, that the Lord has visited his people and give them bread. You're talking about Ruth. or thinking about return from the country of Moab. Originally, he moved to the country of Moab in order to resolve the problem of famine. But when she moved to the country of Moab, she had done something against God's will. So God's blessing was not there. So in the country of Moab, in a very short moment, the problem be resolved. But the bigger problem happened. A family with three widows because all the male died. So she was suffering there. And in the time of suffering, she kept on pondering, what should I do? How can I break through this kind of difficult situation? Right? And eventually, she come to a conclusion. The only one way I can break through this kind of difficult situation is to return to Bethlehem. So she started the journey to go back to Bethlehem. And we know when she returned to Bethlehem, a lot of people call him Naomi. He said, no, don't call me Naomi. You have to call me Mara. Because Naomi is a word of sweet. And Mara is a meaning of bitterness. When she had gone astray, the life from sweetness to become bitterness. But right now, in the bitterness, she was awakened and she returned. And she repent. In the beginning, she still feel that kind of bitterness. But in the end of the book of Ruth, we see the ending of Naomi and Ruth was a happy ending. And God resumed to bless them. So this is a true story happened. And this story to help us, to tell us, is very important. Every day, we have to understand God's words and use God's words as a mirror or look at us. A lot of times we are very curious and how does God look at me? We are very curious, right? And how does God look at us? According to the book of James, when we discern the truth, we are standing before a mirror. So the truth itself is a mirror. So we look into the truth and use the truth to reflect ourselves. And that kind of reflection is what God look at us. So the more we understand the truth, the deeper we understand truth, the more we understand our own unrighteousness. So no wonder the first John talk about if anyone say he has no sin, then he consider God as a liar. Now, if anyone say he has no sin, the words of God is not in him. A lot of time we just cannot understand why. Because if we have no sin, God is a liar because God said everybody has sin. How come? If we have no sin, the words of God is not in us. Because the words of God is the absolute standard. Now, a lot of times, we follow the trend of the culture because everybody do it, so I do it. I don't feel guilty. Because everybody don't do it, so I don't do it. I don't feel guilty. Because we follow the culture. And culture is changing from time to time, from place to place, from school to school. So if we only follow the culture, we will never feel we have sinned. But when the absolute standard, the teaching of the Bible come into our heart, all of a sudden, we know there is sin. About 1 or 2 years ago in New York Times, I talked about a topic about Ivy League school, especially mentioned about Princeton and UPenn. He talked about weekend hookup. Nowadays, people live in the Ivy League. They are very ambitious. They have their own goal. And time is very limited, so they don't have energy to invest in a relationship. So how do they fulfill their last four needs? So every weekend, there's a particular social gathering location. They just go there and have a weekend hookup. Have a sexual relationship. They don't know who is who. And after they sleep for one night, the second morning, everybody say bye-bye. Fulfill each other's needs. And this becomes so popular, especially in a very prestigious school. And this become a culture. So right now, cohabitation, casual sex, and sexual intimacy without marriage is so popular, it become part of culture. So what does faithful means? Faithful means before marriage, you can only have one sexual partner. They call faithful. Oh. And after your sexual partner, then you break up, you have another sexual partner. Then you are faithful to the second one. That's called faithful. So when a person get married, before they get married, they already have sexual partner for many, many. Oh. And then finally they get married, they have to be faithful to the one they get married. And this kind of concept is the culture. When we look into the Bible, this is sin, right? Without marriage, that kind of covenant, is no way we can have a sexual relationship. There's no way we have a sexual intimacy. So until the words of God come into our heart to measure our private life, to measure our inner thought, to measure the way we live our life, otherwise we cannot return to God. Otherwise we will never repent. If we don't return to God, we don't repent, we are going to see the bigger problem, the bigger suffering is waiting ahead of us. So in returning and repent, we shall be saved. So sometimes we look into so-called marriage counseling. And we find out the biblical marriage counseling is so different from the world. The worldly marriage counseling emphasizes a lot of communication. The reason your marriage has problem is because communication is no good. It breaks down. But from the Bible, we understand, yes, communication is part of the problem, but the root of the problem is sinful nature or the concept. So how can a person's marriage become better? The bottom line is return to the Bible, return to God. If it return to God and we pray, and God help us, then the marriage will become better again. So the biblical way to resolve the problem is most effective way. And sometimes it's so easy to a point, it's just like unbelievable. So we probably have many different type of problem, but this verse is applied to everyone in every situation. In returning or repenting, we shall be saved. So a lot of time, we think about it first and make a determination, I want to return to God. And gradually we can see the problem being resolved. Even the problem cannot resolve, God will help us. We were able to bypass the problem. If we compare with the life of Jesus and a life with us, we are going to see that Jesus' life in material sense is far worse than we do. And then a lot of problem we consider problem to Jesus Christ is not a problem. Why? Because his living standard is so low. So if we return to God, a lot of problem even still exist. God will give us strength. We can bypass the problem and continue our spiritual journey. So in this NYTS, let us think about, is there anything we have to change? In any way, we have to return to God. Let's make a resolution and ask God to help us. Then we are going to see we will be saved from our problem. Our life will become better and better. Because once we return to God, and God will return to us. And our relationship with God will ensure a blessed life. And that life will be wonderful. So let's come forward and pray.